Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you, live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Trend On, featuring guest interviews and current trends from businesses to entertainment to lifestyle topics. And here's your host, the engaging Tamara Lee.
Good morning. Welcome to Tamara Lee's Trend On, engaging your audience to trend on you. I am your host, Tamara Lee, founder of Tamara Lee LLC, a communications company meeting the needs of clients on multiple communication platforms from website building, mobile, so SEO optimizing, social media, content writing, blogging, editing, video, and style and image communications and consulting. So you can find me at TamaraLeeLLC.com. That's TamaraLeeHLLC.com. So any of your communication needs, we've got you covered. So we have a fun show coming up today on talking sports. I had the chance to go to the Packer game Monday night on Monday Night Football, so, and the Packers did well. There's a, although in talking, if you missed our show last week with Brent Hamachak, we talked about business and on looking at the Packers, which is, you know, professional athletes, that's their job, and what happened in Monday night's game. Did you watch the game, Heidi?
I did.
Well,
surprise.
Wait. You did. I was expecting the usual no. So you actually watched the game. Good for you. You go, girl.
Yeah, I did.
So what did you think?
It was pretty impressive. I enjoyed it.
Well,
it
was
won,
a good win
so.
For the Packers.
It was, yes.
Yeah. But what happened is, and I was going to say, as it ties into our business show from last week, which you can check out on TamaraLeeLLC.com, on our Trend On or on the LinkLocalNetwork.com website under radio shows for our past shows, the business analogy and takeaway from last Monday night's game was that the Packers came out and they had a great first half, were on top of the game, and they were the favorites to win. And then after halftime, they kind of, it was like they came back complacent, and Atlanta came back and had readjusted their game, and it ended up being a much closer game, much
yes.
more competitive second half than the Packers had anticipated, or it appeared. In the business analogy is that you can be ready for, you can have a great morning, you're on your game, everything's going well, and you sort of, you know, are in a good place, and you've got a new client in the afternoon, and after that lunch break, it's sort of a lesson in behavioral psychology of where you get your best game out, you get comfortable, and then there's a psychological adjustment that happens that you're complacent or feel okay, and then you are unable to make that adjustment and ratchet it back up, and then you get in front of this new client and you've realized you're mentally not at the place where you need to be and you can't get back in the game. And that almost happened to the Packers Monday night in the second half. So we will be talking more about that and their playoff bid and how it's looking. It's looking very good for the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. But I am not as expert as what our guest will be on. So we are going to be shouting out all about football with the Sports Whisper on today's Tamara Lee's Trend On. And the Sports Whisper is a former Hall of Fame college basketball coach and trainer turned stand-up comedian turned sports writer. And he has a weekly blog or regular blog post on Tumblr that is called the Sports Whisper. And he's on Facebook and other social media platforms, Twitter, at the Sports Whisper, and we will cover the Final Four, the college championship, the Heisman candidates, and the NFL playoff picture, and, of course, the Badger game last Saturday night, I think it was, the Big Ten championship. So two different outcomes for our Wisconsin home teams. But before we get into our show, Heidi, do you have a shout-out to our sponsors?
I do. We'd like to thank Mediavine Marketing, simplifying social media for successful businesses and professionals through training, consulting, and management. Mediavine Marketing, minimizing your efforts and maximizing your results. We'd also like to thank ZipBoss.com, a professional business cloud built and maintained by Metasoft, Inc. ZipBoss, create, market, succeed, where powerful websites are born. Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you, Heidi. We are going to flip the order around. Usually we do our Tamerlee's Trend On Fashion at the end, but I should also say that Tamerlee's Trend On is one of the shows on the Link Local Network. And the Link Local Network is, you can check those out, linklocalnetwork.com is a networking organization for professionals who utilize social media to promote their businesses with a strong local, national, and international following. So you can link locally and connect globally at linklocalnetwork.com. And as I said, you can find our past shows on both the linklocalnetwork.com website and our blog post under radio shows, as well as on my TamerleeLLC.com website too. So as I said, we're flipping the order around a little bit here. We are having a bit of a challenge to get our guest on the line, but he is trying to call in. So as soon as we can get that worked out, hopefully we will get on to talking sports with the Sports Whisperer instead of me. But for our Tamerlee's Trend On Fashion, as we head into the holidays, and one of the Christmas gifts on my sister and I were talking, and my nephew is a young professional starting out, and she goes, you know, you could really use some help with how to start to build that professional wardrobe. And tying this into our sport fashion, last week, well, you know I'm all about using clothes and communication strategically in your wardrobe and your image and style, and so that you shouldn't miss an opportunity to be intentional about what you want to communicate through your clothing and style and your image. And so I can help you with that, by the way. So just connect with me at TamerleeLLC.com. And last year I did sort of a little social media experiment. I would tweet during each of the NFL games during the halftime, because they always do the halftime reports with the different sports commentators, and most of them are former football players. Sorry, I'm trying to get my guest on the line, and we're having a little bit of difficulty here. Okay, so back to my thing as we try and get that worked out. Heidi, see what's going on. Anyway, so I was tweeting at the football players I would do a favorite fashion pick NFL week, and then whatever week it was, and then I would tweet at whoever I thought that week had just a great look going on and why. And I thought, you know, I'm going to just see if at some point here during the course of the NFL season, if I don't get a tweet back from one of them. And sure enough, I think it was a few weeks in, and I got a tweet back. I thought, well, maybe Michael Strahan or, you know, Terry Bradshaw or Jimmy Johnson or Daryl Johnston tweeted back and had positive things about my tweet to them. So that was kind of fun. But in building that professional wardrobe, there's a couple of things, you know, that's a great, you can take your cues from the NFL halftime reports and look at those guys, because someone is doing their styling up really well. So in building your basic wardrobe for a nice professional look, usually it's the sport coat, sometimes the three-piece with the vest, the tie, the dress shirt, and then the pocket square. And you should have two suits, one vest, five custom shirts, two ties, one leather belt, one pocket square, and two socks as your very basic professional wardrobe. So if you have a man on your Christmas list, and who doesn't, you can just kind of, maybe that's a good way to look at what their basic wardrobe is, and to help them out with building and creating a workable wardrobe. They should have 14 social wardrobe dress shirts, and some of those essential. And I will post that on my website for more information.
Hi, this is Monty. I'm here.
Oh, yay. Gosh, you know, that's a radio host's worst nightmare, to have dead airspace. And I was trying to help you out and get you online and trying to talk at the same time. I should have just focused on one thing or the other. But thanks for being persistent and getting in here.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited.
I am too. So we are talking all sorts of sports things, and you missed my little introduction there about just how you are going to give a shout-out onto all the talking points from Big Sports Week here, especially in Wisconsin, because, well, one, our Badgers, you know, they didn't play hard, so they had to go home. And then the Packers, of course, continuing to do well, so they're in the NFL playoff picture. So you are the expert, though, so why don't you start by giving us a little bit about your background, and then we can cover our football talking points from there.
Sure. I coached college basketball for a number of years here in New Jersey. I was just nominated into the Ramapo College Hall of Fame. About 6-7 months ago, I started writing some sports articles and also doing stand-up comedy. And I write for several online magazines as well as do several podcasts a week. And basically, you know, I try to cover all sports, but I really focus on pro football, college football, pro basketball, and college basketball.
Well, our Badger basketball team is starting out doing pretty well. We didn't talk about that previously, but they're doing pretty well already too for the season. So
yeah, they lost to Duke the other night, but you know, I think they're definitely a top 10 team. He's got a great system there with great players, and you know, I think with Wisconsin football and Wisconsin basketball, it's basically the same mentality. It's not a great recruiting state, but they seem to get homegrown players who stay 3 or 4 years. They develop and they get better every year, and that's a real credit to both coaching staff and the system that they run there.
Oh, see, that's a good perspective on that. We are all about the homegrown and the home cheese and all of that good stuff. It's why people stay in Wisconsin.
Yes, you know, I always say that. You know what, if you could get maybe a 3-star athlete and make him stay 3 or 4 years, especially now, I mean, I know we're talking about football, but just talk about the NCAA tournament in basketball. Besides Kentucky and the one-and-done players, most teams nowadays, you see mid-majors, you see you know, teams like Wisconsin, that players develop over years, and when they're 22, 23, they're more mature and they go further in the NCAA tournament than, you know, some of the one-and-done type colleges.
Yeah, that's a good perspective. So maybe we'll have to have you back during March Madness and we can talk basketball. But right now we're all about the football as we wind down the college football and the heading into the NFL playoffs. So let's start with the college football. And if I'm correct, this is the first year they've done the Final Four?
Yes, that is correct. This is the first year they've done the Final Four. And I think the committee has basically gotten it right at the end. I mean, if you look at the powerhouses of college football over the last 5-10 years, if you look at the East Coast, it's Florida State dominates. They're in the Final Four. You look at the South, it's Alabama. They dominate in college football with media, television. Everyone's always talking about Alabama. You look at the Midwest, you look at Ohio, that region, it's Ohio State. And right now the Pac-12 is no longer owned by USC. Oregon has owned it since Chip Kelly was there 4 or 5 years ago, and they're in the Final Four. So I think the committee, best teams, and there's no secret as to why those teams are so successful. So it took a little while with Baylor and TCU. You know, the Big 12 doesn't have a conference championship game. As a matter of fact, the Big 12 gave both of them a trophy to co-conference championships, and I look at that as big football. You know, not everyone deserves a championship trophy. Alabama won their conference championship. Ohio State dominated Wisconsin in their conference championship. Oregon dominated, and Florida State beat a tough Georgia Tech team. So I think the committee got it right, and I think it's going to be a great matchup with those four teams.
Yeah, well, and certainly Wisconsin wouldn't have deserved to win Saturday night. It's like, oh, my gosh, we thought they'd at least put up a fight, but that was – what do you think happened there?
Well, I think one of the things that is overlooked is Urban Meyer, the head coach of Ohio State, is such a great coach. You need a dual threat to beat him because he's going to – like Nick Saban – he's going to take away the thing that you do best. What does Wisconsin do best traditionally, and that's run the ball? Melvin Gordon was very close second to Marcus Mariota in the Heisman candidate race, and he just didn't show up. The team didn't show up. Ohio State said, you know what? You're not going to beat us with the run. You're going to have to throw the ball. They crowded the box, the line of scrimmage. They blitzed run all the time, and I was shocked to see their third-string quarterback play as well as he did, because I really thought he would have, you know, jitters in such a big game. But Urban Meyer prepared the team. And I think, look, Wisconsin's a great program. They're going to win 9 and 10 games a year. And they made it to the conference championship. I know people in Wisconsin may not like this, but they are not at that elite level right now. They are a 9-10 win team, and that's good. It's not great, but it's still very good.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think anyone can argue against the way the game went. They weren't a champion level team that showed up Saturday night. But you know, they've had their turns, and maybe it's part of that building program that you can't always be on top. You're going to have to do some work and building a program up again.
Yeah, I think they're headed in the right direction. I think that, you know, they need, obviously, their quarterback needs to develop. They need some more wide receivers. Melvin Gordon had an absolute phenomenal season. They played to their strength, and that was running the ball. But like I said, as you get better, as you play better competition, you have to be able to do two things well, because any good coach or any good team is going to take away your one strength that you have. So you're going to have to go to plan B, and I don't think Wisconsin had a plan B. They are not built to be down 24, 28, 31, nothing. They cannot come back from that because they can't throw the ball effectively. But I still think that Wisconsin is a top 15 program.
Well, that's good to know. We'll be hopeful. I'm ever optimistic, us Badger fans.
They're in good shape. They'll be in good shape. They'll be okay.
Well, and we're Wisconsin fans. We don't really care. They could suck it up, and we'd still be out there, you know, packed stadium. And
you got to love the loyalty in cold-weather states.
Yeah, hardy folks. So the other team, and I have three kids out in Portland, so I have become both a Badger and now an Oregon Ducks, which, it, you know, doesn't hurt that they're on top. So to be become a fan. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say Oregon, I think out of the four teams, they're playing the best out of any team in college football. They've scored 40 points in 8 straight games. Marcus Mariota is going to win the Heisman, and deservedly so. He's number one in passer rating, total points. He has 53 touchdowns and only 2 interceptions. Now, most pro sports quarterbacks, like a Peyton Manning or Aaron Rodgers, a good ratio for them is 6-1, 7-1. You'll see Peyton Manning throw 45 touchdowns, maybe have 10 interceptions. In college, a good ratio for touchdowns to interception is about 7-8. Marcus Mariota is 25-1 for touchdown to interception ratio. He's having one of the greatest seasons in the history of college football, and only 2 interceptions for someone who throws the ball as much as they do. It's very impressive.
And so he's your pick for the Heisman.
Yeah, he was my – I actually wrote in the beginning of the year in my college football preview that he's the best dual threat quarterback that I've ever seen. So I predicted him to win the Heisman, and he's done nothing all season but exceed those expectations. Again, 53 total touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's the most touchdowns since 2008 of any quarterback.
So would the Oregon Ducks be your pick to come out of the Final Four?
Yes. I like Oregon to beat Florida State. I like Alabama to beat Ohio State. And if you look over the last couple of years, the only teams that Alabama and Nick Saban have struggled with are teams that spread them out offensively. They lost to Johnny Manziel and Texas A&M because they throw the ball and they spread you out. They lost to Auburn, which is an unorthodox offense, last year, and they spread you out. And they lost in the bowl game last year to Oklahoma, a team that threw the ball effectively and spread them out. I think that Oregon, with Royce Freeman as their running back, he's a freshman running back. He's 6'2", 235 pounds, rushed for over 1,000 yards. And Mariota, with his offensive passing ability and running ability, I think they're going to give Alabama problems, and I think they'll score over 35 points, and they should beat Alabama in the postgame.
Well, that is a fun outcome. I will have to get on board. Have the Ducks traditionally been that good, or is it something new that their program is really coming to that national presence?
Over the last 5 years, over the last 6 years, the Oregon Ducks are the only team in college football to have 11 or more wins. Chip Kelly went there. Now he's with the Philadelphia Eagles, and he was phenomenal there. He won 11 games for 4 straight years. They played in the national championship when no one knew about them, and they lost to Cam Newton and Auburn 22-19. And they had a kind of a setback last year. I say setback, but they still went 11-2. I'm sure Wisconsin would love to go to 11-2 every year. You know, so it was kind of a down year for them, and they only had two losses. But, yeah, over the last 6 years, Oregon's the only team. Alabama can't even say this, or Florida State, that they've won 11-plus games every year. So, yes, Chip Kelly absolutely turned that program around, and they've been on the top for the last 5 or 6 years.
Well, that's exciting. I know they beat the Badgers. I was pulling for both. It's like, go, team, win, win, either side.
You're hoping for a tie.
Yeah, one of those politically correct games where it's like, okay, yay. So that'll be how the Final Four, and there's talk about the Final Four, and you just justified of why that was a good direction for college games to go. And then we'll switch over to the NFL picture. And, of course, before we got you online, I was talking about I was up at the Lambeau Monday night for the game, and the Packers were expected to have a bigger spread than that on over the Falcons, and they didn't. So did you watch the game?
Yes, I saw the game. I was absolutely shocked that I thought that Atlanta would pack it in at halftime. They were getting blown out, but they definitely came back. They scored a lot of points. But you know what? Sometimes in the NFL, you know, you take a win when you can get it. Like, I'll give you an example. The Steelers are battling for their playoff lives. They're 8-5. They lost to Tampa Bay, and they lost to the Jets, two teams who have a combined 4 wins. So I always say it's better to win ugly than to lose pretty. So you take the win, and you move on.
Yeah, that's a good saying. That was an ugly win, but we'll take it. And they held on to it at the end. You know, I was listening to the Packer show afterwards on the way back home, and they said, I just completely lost that thought.
Well, I'm sure they were very unhappy with the way the Packers squandered the lead and let Atlanta back in the game. But, you know, listen, Atlanta, they get paid, you know, a lot of money to play, and they're fighting, even though they're in a horrible division, they're 5-8, they're battling for their playoff lives as well. They came back, I think maybe, you know, complacency set in with Green Bay, and they thought they had it won, and they were blowing them out at halftime. And if you look at Aaron Rodgers over his career, he's 41-9 at home. They're 7-0 this year at home, and they're winning every game at home by an average of 23 points per game. So they're blowing teams out in the first half, and most teams besides the Patriots a few weeks ago don't hang in tough against them. So I think they just kind of let down a little bit. But again, you know what? It's better to win ugly than lose pretty.
Yeah, that was it. A caller had called in and said, you know, why did they just run the clock out at the end and kind of not try for the 3 points or whatever? And it was, you know, time management with it edging up to Atlanta, closing the gap to a 6-point difference. You didn't want to risk a turnover where they could suddenly have the ball and run it back and end the game. So,
you know,
the other thing they talked about was, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think, believe it or not, that I think fans like the Packers, like New England, they've gotten so spoiled at winning and winning big that when something like that happens, you lose sight of the fact that you won the game. You know, that's all that matters. You won the game. If the Packers were 3-9 and this happened, then you say, okay, they don't have a killer instinct. They don't have a winning mentality. But I just look at it as, you know what? Advance and move on. It's the NFL. Like I said, Pittsburgh lost to Tampa Bay and the Jets, and I never saw that coming. So I think the Packers are one of the best teams in the league, and I think they're my favorite actually to go to the Super Bowl right now.
Oh, mine too, and all of Wisconsin. So, yeah, so that's, you know, we're looking at that here, and I think we're in good shape for that too. They, you know, maybe learn from that. Did you watch the Patriots-Packer game too?
Yes, I did. I did watch that game. And I actually, in the beginning of the year, I had the Packers losing to Seattle because I thought Seattle would have home field advantage, and they're so tough at home. But now with the Packers having the home field advantage, I really think that will favor them if they can hold on to that, because it's almost impossible to win in Lambeau in January. I know the Giants did it a few years back. I don't want to bring that up to, you know, the Wisconsin fans.
Oh, yeah, it's so painful, that one.
And I actually had Denver beating the Patriots. But now, that to get into the Super Bowl. But now that I'm looking at what's happened over the last five games, the Patriots have played Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers, and Philip Rivers, all elite quarterbacks. The Patriots have let up 17 points per game against those teams. These Patriots are not winning like they used to. It's not Tom Brady always winning the game. They have a phenomenal defense, and they've proven, even though they lost to the Packers, there's no shame in that loss. I mean, that game could have gone either way.
Right.
So I would love to see Tom Brady against Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. I think it would be a great matchup.
That would be. That would. I know, just from the woman's point of view, watching that with those two quarterbacks, we would all be fine.
Yes, exactly. That's a game. The Super Bowl is very popular, but with those two attractive men playing in the Super Bowl, that's every woman's dream, and men would love it too. So it would be a win-win for marketers and that, exactly. So I would love to see those two. I think if the Packers get the home field, I think they will go to the Super Bowl, and I think they should play the New England Patriots. That's my prediction.
Well, that would be great. Would the Packers, and I haven't looked that far ahead to know how it would match up, so this is where your knowledge and expertise way over mine. So if this is a dumb question, I'm going to ask it anyway. Would, with that home field advantage, would it be a scenario where the Packers would be hosting the Seahawks here at home?
Yes, right now the Packers are tied with the best record in the NFC. So if the Packers, if they're 9-3, the Seahawks are coming on, but they're one game behind right now. But I think that if the Packers, you know, you look at the conference record and then you look at head-to-head, even though the Seahawks beat the Packers, if the Packers have a tied record and a better conference record, they would host the home field. And I think the Packers are going to win 12 games minimum. I think they're going to be 12-4 or 13-3. So I don't think the Seahawks can catch them. They have a lot of tough games coming up in their own division with Arizona and San Francisco. So I don't think that the Seattle Seahawks can catch the Packers at this point. I think they have too many hard games.
What I was thinking of that is where that home field advantage, especially in the cold weather, but where Russell Wilson was a Badger and used to playing in Wisconsin in the cold, would that be as detrimental as, say, another team that is more of a warm weather team?
Well, I think the one thing that Seattle does better than most teams, and this translates to cold weather, warm weather, they play great defense and they run the ball. So it's windy and cold in Green Bay. Seattle's game plan is not going to change. They're still going to run the ball, and they're still going to play great defense. But the way I see it right now, Aaron Rodgers has 35 touchdowns, 3 TDs. 35 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. He's playing at an MVP level. He's my MVP. And I think that in the last minute of the game, there's no one right now. If the game's tied or they're down by 3 or 4, there's no one better right now than him and Jordy Nelson in the league. It's a 1-2 combination. So I have utmost confidence in Green Bay this year.
Well, I love Jordy Nelson and Aaron Rodgers' dynamic duo.
they just find a way.
So, would there be, because didn't the Chargers just have a kind of surprise upset at the end of the game, kind of turn it around? Not last week. So could there be like a surprise, the Colts or the Chargers or somebody like that coming in?
My surprise for the AFC would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, because all year, every analyst on ESPN has been talking about the Dallas Cowboys' big three of Tony Romo, Dez Bryant, and DeMarco Murray. But the Pittsburgh Steelers' big three, they have Brown as the running back, they have Ben Roethlisberger. Ben Roethlisberger is second in the league in passing. He has 4,000 yards. Their receiver, Brown, is second in the league in receiving. And their running back, Bell, is second in the league in rushing. So they have a big three. They can score with anyone. So my surprise in the AFC would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. And my surprise in the NFC, it's not really a surprise, but I still like the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Chip Kelly and that offense gives people problems. And up until a few weeks ago, they were second in the league in sacks. So they play aggressive on offense. They play aggressive on defense. I know they got manhandled in Green Bay, but I'm looking past that because – a lot of teams get manhandled in Green Bay. But you give Chip Kelly a week or two to prepare for a team, and he's a great offensive coach, so they're my surprise.
All right. How about that for Pennsylvania, huh?
I think the Steelers all, you know, a lot of people, I don't know why Big Ben is never in the conversation as an MVP. He's won 2 Super Bowls. He's having a great year. Earlier this year, in 2 games, he threw for 6 touchdown passes 2 games in a row. He had 12 touchdown passes in 2 games. That's phenomenal. And he's the only quarterback in the history of the NFL to throw for 500 yards twice.
So why is that then? Because that seems impressive from the numbers, but yet he doesn't seem to be one of those quarterbacks whose name is always bandied about.
Well, I think part of the reason is that he's been labeled when he came into the league as a game manager, a lot like Russell Wilson is. But what people don't understand, Big Ben's not a game manager. He's a playmaker. So is Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson in his first 2 years, he threw less than any quarterback in the league, but he had more touchdown passes in 2 years than Andrew Luck. So what does that say? That says inside the red zone, he's a playmaker. But I think sometimes we label these quarterbacks as playmakers, or we, like Colin Kaepernick, people label him, the San Francisco quarterback, as a playmaker. But he's not.
Mm-hmm.
He can't read defenses. He's not very accurate. People label Big Ben coming into the league as he manages the game. But if you watch him, he's best in a 2-minute drill or when the play breaks down at creating something downfield. So, again, he has 4,000 yards passing. He's only second to Andrew Luck. He's having a great year.
Well, obviously his longevity in the league, too, has to speak, you know, of his numbers and his abilities.
Well, yeah, he's got great size, too. I mean, he's 6'5", 235. He's not easy to bring down. He always plays hurt or with nagging injuries. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that point. His longevity is definitely, you know, people take greatness for granted sometimes. I think, you know, we look at Peyton Manning and people focus on, oh, well, he's only won 1 Super Bowl. But he's doing it every week consistently, putting up great numbers. I think sometimes people just get complacent with that or take it for granted.
So do you think with Kaepernick, like the Green Bay game a couple of years ago in the playoff where it was like the Packer defense did not make any adjustments to Kaepernick just running all over him, do you think teams have since kind of got his number of where he sort of is that panic and run or try to make it all happen himself, or where do you stand on him as a QB?
Well, right now, I think that it's interesting that you bring that up because we were just talking about this the other day. I think the problem with Colin Kaepernick is now teams, he had success when he first came in, when he first started playing, and he's had success, but teams have started to take away certain things for him. One of Colin Kaepernick's weaknesses is he drops back, he tends to look at one receiver, and if that's taken away, he doesn't go through his progression like most pocket passers do. So I think teams have taken away. I think the same thing happened with RG3. When he first came into the league, you needed 15, 16 games to get his complete body of work and see what we can do to take it away. Every NFL team will take away a quarterback something that they love to do. That's why Brady, Rodgers, when you watch them drop back, if their first read is not open, they go through their progression. They go through their second or third receivers. Young quarterbacks like Colin Kaepernick, RG3, and I think this is the same thing that's going to happen with Manziel, is they don't do that right away. So I think what's happened with Kaepernick is they're taking away his first read, they're taking away his first option, and because he's been such a great athlete his whole life, it's almost genetically bred for him over the last 10, 15 years. If something's not open, you run the ball. You can't do that in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why I think Johnny Manziel is going to struggle. He may not struggle initially, but Tim Tebow won 6 games. He won a playoff game. He's out of the league now because Tebow can drop back and go through his progressions. And I think Johnny Manziel, who's a lot like Kaepernick, except he doesn't have the size, he doesn't have the speed, he doesn't have the arm strength, in a cold weather division like Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, I don't see him having long-term success.
So what do you think with is it Manziel and Hoyer? Are they the QBs? Do I have that right?
Yes, yes. I think that...
Oh, good. I know more than I thought.
No. I think that it's time to see what Johnny Manziel has. Over the last 29 drives, Brian Hoyer has led the Browns to 1 touchdown. So he's not getting it done. They drafted Manziel 22nd. They're probably not going to make the playoffs. It's 7-6 right now. So you have to see what Manziel has. But the problem that I have with all the Cleveland fans who I get emails all the time about Manziel, first off, Manziel was 10-6 in the SEC. He got famous because he beat Alabama, and that led him to the Heisman. But again, Tim Tebow had a much better career. He's now announcing. I think the Browns have to go with Manziel to see what he has. But here's the biggest problem I have. Cleveland hasn't won a championship since 1964. Are we supposed to think now that they know what they're doing and they were the only ones who wanted Manziel in the first round? Are we supposed to think that the incompetent Cleveland Browns are smarter than the rest of the NFL who passed on Johnny Manziel?
No. How come they haven't won since 1964? Why don't they fix what's broken there?
It's just, you know, there are certain teams like my New York Knicks in basketball. There are certain teams, the Jets. The Jets haven't won since 69. The Browns haven't won a championship since. There are just certain teams that are just the Raiders. Look at the Raiders over the last 15 years. There are just certain teams that are just mired. I mean, it's just I feel bad for not only the Cleveland Browns, but Cleveland hasn't won a championship in any sport since 1964. Basketball, football, or baseball.
And Draft Day, the movie, didn't help that out any, did it?
No. That's fine. There are certain organizations that just don't get it, and they may never will.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Yeah.
You're spoiled. Yeah. You know, you have Green Bay, who wins. Even if they don't win, they're always in the hunt.
Yeah. Well, and I think with the NFL, you know, birth coming out of our Midwest, Chicago, Green Bay background, I think just our tradition of football is just crazy. And maybe that's, you know, part of our success. It's just part of intrinsic to our culture and our state. And I think the teams know that. Maybe they rise to that level of expectation.
You know,
I don't know.
I agree with that because I think there are certain teams that the fans just demand more. Like, for example, New England, they don't win a Super Bowl, it's considered a failure. The Boston Red Sox, the New York Yankees, the Green Bay Packers. You know, if you guys aren't competing for a championship, then fans are going to be all over talk radio, all over the newspaper. You know, they demand excellence.
Yes, we do. We demand that of them. And thankfully, they rise to that level. It's crazy. You have to be a crazy fan to sit in that weather. I was at when Favre threw the interception in the New York Giants playoff game, and it was like, it felt like 70 below out at Lambeau. It was crazy awful. I'm like, who does this for a game?
It's absolutely crazy. I don't know how fans do it. I don't know how you guys do it. Same thing with Chicago fans. But, like, again, you know what? No matter what the weather is, if you're a passionate fan, you will go to a game. And it's almost like I compare the Green Bay Packers. There are a few NFL cities that are like this, but I compare the Green Bay Packer fans to, like, the Alabama football fans. It's almost like a religion.
Yep.
You could talk football 365 days a year with Packer fans.
Yeah, that's true. I think it also has to do with the other part of our history of being, loving our beer and our cocktails, and that antifreeze goes a long way for keeping fans in good shape.
That's not necessarily a bad thing. I wanted to ask you a question because since you're so in touch with – now, I have been of the believer, and it's coming true this year, but I have been of the believer for the past 3 or 4 years that if I had to pick one Green Bay quarterback, I would pick Aaron Rodgers over Brett Favre. Is that the consensus there, or is Brett Favre put on a pedestal?
I think you're right. I would agree with that. And I was just thinking about that. And I think Aaron Rodgers is just so solid on and off the field. I mean, he does a lot of great work. And not that Brett Favre doesn't. I love Brett Favre. I've always been a fan. And when people turned and were Brett Favre haters, it's like, you know, no, he was fun to watch playing. And I was at Lambeau and had opportunities to watch him play close up. And I love what Brett Favre stands for as a football, and he in some respect, he's the Wisconsin, you know, hard-ass kind of guy, go out and kick it, just that love of just the jock and the athletic aspect to his game, very physical, and yet Aaron Rodgers is studied, he's serious, and yet he's got kind of maybe that new generation of where there's some humor in his intensity, but I think for what he's done for the Green Bay program, that's just my personal opinion, not that it carries any credibility whatsoever.
No,
I think Aaron Rodgers has passed Favre.
I think you hit the nail on the head, especially when you said, you know, Brett Favre, Wrangler jeans, tough, hard-nosed, Aaron Rodgers, he does the discount double-check commercials. You know, so they're, mm-hmm. they're two legendary quarterbacks, but as you can see, I mean, Brett Favre played with such passion and emotion, and he wore his emotions on his sleeve. Aaron Rodgers, who's very intense, but you could tell, I mean, even when he went on the radio and he's like, everyone relax, it's going to be okay. You know, he just has like a funnier, more, you know, not as all or nothing, like even keel type of personality. And I think that's one of the reasons why Brett Favre struggled later in his career with interceptions is because he had that, you know, all or nothing mentality. We got to get it right now. Where Aaron Rodgers is more of a thinker and more patient during the course of the game.
Right, just much more grounded overall. And I remember a quote that when he was kind of coming into his own in Green Bay that he had shared with his, I don't know if it was his mother, whatever, and he said, you know, that he didn't want to be the best quarterback in the NFL. He wanted to be the best man playing quarterback in
wow.
the NFL.
That's pretty impressive because by all accounts, Brett Favre was not exactly the best man off the field or the best teammate to certain guys.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, was part of then his losing some of that fan base and maybe a little bit of that respect. And not that he's not deserving of getting it back. And like I said, you know, all of that, I can remember watching his resignation speech and, you know, just being very moved by that. And then, oh, wait, no, never mind, I'm back again.
Well,
kind of wore on the fans too.
Well, yeah, I think one of the hardest things to do, and Steve Young, who took over for Joe Montana and finally won a Super Bowl, he said he felt the pressure every day of following a legend like Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aaron Rodgers followed the God in Green Bay, and he has really just done his own thing. He's basically stayed the course, believed in himself. He came into camp this year in the best shape of his life. So he stayed motivated. He hasn't gotten, you know, overconfident, or he hasn't lost his hunger after winning a Super Bowl like some quarterbacks do. Like, I'm in New York, and I think Eli Manning has kind of gotten a little bit complacent after winning the Super Bowl and signing all that money. So I think replacing a legend like Aaron Rodgers, I think that's one of the greatest accomplishments, to not just be on par with him, but maybe be a step better than him. I mean, that's the pressure that he must have felt his first couple of years it just had to be incredible.
Well, and I think that speaks a lot, too, of him, that he studied Favre, and he was patient, and he learned from that legend and took, you know, I think that maybe that's part of why his interception numbers are so low, because he watched how disruptive that was for a team to have those interceptions, and maybe took note of that. And that seems to be how he approaches things. And I like that humbleness, that aspect of patience and all of that.
He's really, I mean, I've watched a lot of QBs over the past few years. Like Tom Brady had 50 touchdowns. Peyton Manning had 55 last year. It just seems like Aaron Rodgers this year, he's just a step ahead of every defensive coordinator. Like, they take something away, he's like, fine, he doesn't force anything. He always finds the open man, or he'll buy a cup. I don't know if you saw the play a couple of weeks ago where he was falling down, he was getting hit, he threw a touchdown. I mean, he just seems like it's almost like he's an artist and he's just creating his canvas right on the field.
Yeah, and it also does help. I mean, we've got a lot of great players, and I think he brings that leadership, like you said, to the to the team, and everybody has raised their game, and we feel just very fortunate as Packer fans to have the players that we do, and they seem to have really embraced this as their home. And a year ago or 2 years ago, maybe 12, couple, I had the guest on our show, Jennifer, the founder of Aaron Rodgers Day 12-12-12, and so that's coming up again this Friday. So I can give a shout out about that. It's a day for doing charities in Aaron Rodgers' name. They actually declared 12-12 as Aaron Rodgers Day in our state.
Wow,
and
that's
so
amazing. That's great. That's great.
Yeah, there's an Aaron Rodgers 12-12-12 Facebook page, and so this Friday, just a reminder to embrace the cause in the name of our great Aaron Rodgers on 12-12-12. And then speaking of, I want to get to a couple of quick questions here before we wrap up. We haven't talked Peyton Manning at all. What do you see as outcome? Last year, I bet money in Vegas on the Broncos for the Super Bowl because I thought everything was building that it was going to be Peyton Manning's, you know, big year, and after coming back and, you know, joining the Broncos. And then the Broncos didn't show up again, you know, at the Super Bowl. And not to take away from the dominance of Seattle Seahawks, because I am a fan of Russell Wilson. But what do you see for Peyton Manning as we head into the end of the season and future?
I think that the Broncos did the best job of any team in the offseason of adding pieces that they didn't have. They added three defensive players. Now they have a running game. You know, they rushed for over 100 yards last week. They've had a slew of injuries to the offensive line. They've had two running backs go down. But they've really, really stayed on course because of Peyton Manning. But as the game gets later into the season, the weather gets colder, you can see it right now. Peyton Manning no longer has a fastball of an arm. He has a changeup. You know, he doesn't have the arm strength. So if the game is cold, they're gonna have to run the ball, and they have been doing that. It's almost what happened with John Elway back in the day. John Elway went to three Super Bowls throwing the ball and running the ball. Now, Peyton can't run, but Peyton's a great thrower. It wasn't until Denver developed a running game with Terrell Davis that they won back-to-back Super Bowls. Right now, Denver is putting a focus, the coaching staff, on rushing the ball, and you're going to have to do that in December. I thought last year they got physically manhandled by Seattle in the first 10 minutes of the game, and they were done. They're much more of a physical team this year, but I think that if Denver hosts the championship game, they can win. But I think if they go to New England, it's going to be almost impossible to beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And that defense, like I said before, they played five of the best quarterbacks in New England in the past 5 weeks. They're 4-1, and they're only letting up 17 points a game. Darrell Revis, who used to be with the Jets, is a lockdown corner, and that gives Bill Belichick great freedom to leave him alone, cover the best receiver, and take away other parts of the game. So my prediction is Denver will go to the AFC Championship. If they host it, I would predict them to win. If they go to New England, I don't think they will win.
No, yeah. And that'd be the match that they were talking about, you know, football being a young man's game, and both Brady and Manning getting up there to where they can't have the physicality that they once had.
Well, it's amazing that these guys have really just, you know, in an era where quarterbacks are running and throwing and athletic, even Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a great runner. He doesn't run as much as he used to, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers can buy time. He can scramble. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady can't run, but they're still very successful. They're one of the smartest, most prepared quarterbacks in the game. And, you know, they're getting older, but it doesn't seem to be like their teams are slowing down. So I just think that Tom Brady will go down as probably the best quarterback of all time, and right behind him will be Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, well, I can go with that. I have a daughter in Colorado, too. So the benefit of having five kids all over, I have one in New York, Jersey area out by you, and then three in Portland and one in Colorado. So I get to have a lot of favorite sports teams.
You're like that Visa commercial about the Minnesota family that all spread around. One went to Pittsburgh.
I am.
That's you. You can root for all the teams, so it's a win-win.
That's right. Wouldn't the NFL love me? And speaking of that, I'm always about the fashion and wearing your team colors. And using that in business, but if you know your client is a big fan, whatever their alma mater, their college or their NFL team or sports team, wear that in that color in your outfit when you're meeting them, because they'll have a positive association with that and it'll go better for you in the meeting. That's my little fashion tip on trending. The other thing, the last question I want to get to is, what do you think with the, I was reading, maybe it was one of your blogs or something about how, I think it was actually, that, maybe not, the way that they've changed the rules, that they want the high scoring, the high points games, how do you see that affecting the playoffs coming and then into the Super Bowl, of where it seems like the third down, they'll always somehow throw a flag out so you get the first down and are favoring towards the court. Oh, it was your article about J.J. Watts, of why, another Wisconsin boy, why he won't be any kind of MVP.
Well, yes, I wrote that article because I think J.J. Watt is Defensive Player of the Year. I would love to have 10 of him on my team. But the Wall Street Journal broke it down. And in J.J. Watt's most dominant games, where he had over five tackles, a sack, or an interception, his team was 3-3. The reason why J.J. Watt can't be the MVP is because he basically has an effect on maybe 30 plays a game, where someone like Aaron Rodgers touches the ball 75, 80 times a game. So he's going to have more of an impact directly on the game. The way that college football and pro football has become is that they take every advantage the defense has, and they basically took it away from them. So that's why we're seeing more up-tempo offense. Teams want to run more plays. We're seeing higher scoring. So what you have to do now, and this is what happened with, this is what I was talking about with Atlanta and Green Bay, it's almost like you have to become good situationally. You have to get a stop at the end of games. You have to put pressure on the quarterback in big situations. One of the reasons why I like Philadelphia so much this year is because they are blitzing the quarterback. They are putting pressure on him. I love the fact that Green Bay has put their linebacker, Clay Matthews, now on the inside. They put him on the side. They move him to the inside. Because you have to, you don't have to be a great defensive team. You just have to be good situationally. I think the Giants, when they beat the Patriots a few years back, were one of the bottom five teams in rushing and defense. But what they did so well in their playoff run is their front four put pressure on guys. When you could put pressure on the quarterback, just rushing four or five guys, that means you have more defensive backs to cover. And when you could do that without blitzing guys, that's a great advantage to your team. I don't think there's, besides Seattle, I don't see a team, and Arizona, that they're both very good defensively. But in this day and age, you need to score points. Even Seattle, who was dominant in defense, they scored 43 points in the Super Bowl. So you have to score points in today's NFL, and they have to do something to kind of offset how dominant the offenses are in college football and pro football. They have to let the defensive backs, because you said it best, almost every third down, you see a flag. What do you say? Pass interference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, because then your takeaway is it's not really a fair, you know, playing field, so to speak.
No, I don't think it is. And I also think that if you have a young kid growing up and he plays high school and he wants to play college, you're going to start seeing if they don't change these rules, no one's going to want to play defense. It's almost like, okay, you're a wide receiver, but we're moving you to defensive back if you want a scholarship. Because no one in their right mind is going to want to play defense, because why am I going to play something where it's so one-sided, it's so unfair?
Yeah, it's almost like being, you know, your role is just to be second string so that the offense has someone to be on the other side of them while they do their thing.
Yeah, I just think that the NFL is so concerned with the physicality and players walking away injured. You know, you see certain hits. I saw a hit, the guy hit him with his shoulder, and they gave him a 15-yard penalty. And it's just, listen, I'm not for violence. I don't think if someone uses their helmet to helmet, obviously, that's a major penalty. But there's got to be some way to make it even, or if not even. Right now, the offense, it's like 70-30. You look at all the great teams in the league, what do they all have? They have a great quarterback. They have someone who's going to make plays. So J.J. Watt's the best defensive player. They're one game over 500.
But then, you know, are they great because the game is set up to have them be that great because you've taken away the power of your defense?
Well, yeah, you look at what Brady and Manning have done over the last 3 or 4 years. Their numbers have went up, even though they've gotten older, with touchdown passes. I mean, the 1 year that Tom Brady had an elite wide receiver, he had Randy Moss, the team went 18-0. You know, because the NFL wants points. They don't want it. It's like the only sport that doesn't promote offense. I mean, you see this in everywhere. Hockey has eliminated holding and grabbing. The NBA has eliminated hand checking. The only sport that really doesn't promote offense is Major League Baseball. But every sport nowadays, every rule change is to create more excitement, create more points.
Yeah, so has it gone away from athleticism and more to showmanship and theatrics?
But I just think, like, you know, especially in college football, like, I'm a huge Oregon fan. They scored 40 straight points in 8 straight games. I mean, you're looking at games, the SEC championship game 2 years ago. You know, you're looking at points that was 51-45, 45-40. There's got to be some rule somewhere where you get the defense, again, if you don't want it, an even playing field, but at least give them something to hang their hat on.
Yeah, I would agree. So as we wrap up here, your picks then for the playoff matchups and the ultimate matchup and then the wins, what are your picks?
My pick is Oregon to beat Alabama for the national championship. And my prediction is for Aaron Rodgers to lead his team to a last-minute score and beat the Patriots in a very close Super Bowl, one we'll look at as one of the greats of all time.
Now, saying that, though, isn't traditionally the Packers don't do well on the comeback? It seems that they do better when they get the lead and maintain it.
An article about Aaron Rodgers in the last 2 minutes of the game. But again, I've seen so much maturity and development. And like you said, they are much more balanced this year. They have two running backs who could score. He has 3 or 4 weapons on the outside that he could go to. And I think their defense is better situationally than most people think. So I think that if you give Aaron Rodgers 2 weeks to prepare for any team, he's going to put up numbers, and I just think that this is their year, and everyone in Wisconsin should be happy because I kind of killed the Wisconsin Badgers early on in the show, and now I'm ending on a high note with the Packers winning it all.
There you go. Yeah, Badgers who were so over that.
Move on to the Packers.
That's right. Well, I like that outcome, and that the game is being down in the Super Bowl is being played in Arizona, and I have a friend down in Scottsdale. I said, if the Packers are in the playoffs, she actually works at the stadium there for the Arizona and the Phoenix Stadium, and I said, okay, if they're needing extra help at the stadium for the Super Bowl, I'm in. But not in the stairwell.
I could be a hot dog vendor. I could be a beer vendor. Put me on that list, but come third, fourth quarter, I'm just going to hide and just watch in the corner.
Yeah, it should be a great game. So I hope your prediction comes through because that was sure fun to watch Brady and Rodgers a couple weeks ago. So thanks for talking about sports.
My last thing is I definitely think Aaron Rodgers is the MVP this year.
Oh, we already are on that.
Awesome.
In Wisconsin. Even if everybody else doesn't agree to us, he is, so. Kind of doesn't matter. And where can people find out more, since you are just such a wealth of information and insight, for following you?
Well, thank you for the kind words. People can follow me on Twitter. It's Monty, M-O-N-T-E, T-J, Witter, W-I-T-T-E-R, 11. Monty T-J Witter. I probably post about 3 or 4 articles a week on football, basketball, so you could always check out my site there. I also write for a couple online magazines from the 300 levels, another one. But everything's posted on my page, so Monty, M-O-N-T-E, T-J, Witter, 11.
Okay, and you, like you said, on Twitter and all of those other places. So great stuff. And I'm serious about maybe March Madness time. Well, I'll give you a shout-out again.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would love that. That would be great.
All right. Thank you much. Have a great holiday.
Thanks, you too. Thanks so much for having me on, and go Packers.
Go Packers. All right. Bye-bye. And I would invite you back next week for Tamara Lee's Trend on the Lynx Local Network, live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. We will be back next Wednesday for a holiday wrap-up, and then we will be on holiday break until 2015, which is crazy. We'll head into our fourth year here on the show starting in 2015. So thank you for joining us today, and have a great week, and we will see you back next week.